Welcome in, Jerry, to Uncovering Success. I mean, I'm so excited for today. I've known you and your family for some time, and I mean, just the best people, always willing to serve, always wanting to serve, and be around others. Always a good time to be around. So, Jerry, thank you for sitting down with me and taking the time today.
My pleasure, Brady. Yes, I'm That's encouraged awesome. Of what you're doing.
I appreciate it. So tell me a little bit about where you grew up. I'm not even 100% sure where, like, you were born, where you were raised.
Yeah. So I grew up in Massillon, which is, okay. 30 minutes from here. And I was there until my parents moved away when I was 16. And so they moved to Mansfield. They allowed me to live by myself in Massillon. The state of Ohio was going to take our home. They were going to put Route 30 through it. So if you know Route 30, our house sat right there.
Wow.
And if the state said to my dad, hey, if you're living here, you'll get 100% of the value. If you're not living here, you get 85%. And so he took a job in Mansfield. And I said, hey, I'll stay here because I'm a junior in high school and I didn't want to move. So I stayed there by myself. That was my first experience of growing up.
Wow.
They moved and I was working. My brother had went to military. He had bought a brand new high performance Dodge. So I bought the Dodge from him. And so here I am living by myself.
In junior high.
Junior high school. I mean, wow. Junior in high school. Yes.
Junior. Dang. In high school, you were living by yourself.
Yeah.
You probably thought that was pretty cool though, right?
I thought it was pretty cool. And it helped me grow up really. Yeah. Dang. It helped me grow up early.
So what was post-school like for you? Where'd you go? And
I didn't.
What were you doing?
No. In my parents, when they sold a year later, middle of my senior year, we sold our home. So the agreement was that I would move to Mansfield at that time. So I moved to Mansfield. The high school counselor there in Mansfield, I wanted to be a machinist, and so tool and die maker. So he got me on a program where I went to school for a couple, 3 hours in the morning, and then I would go 8 hours and be into this machinist program. And I did that for Hartman Electric there in Mansfield. I did that about a year and a half, and then that's when I met Jerry. And
your wife.
My wife, Jerry, Yeah.
And how'd you end up? I know you were out in California for a little bit, right? How'd you end up out there, and what were you doing out there?
Well, when Jerry and I got married, so 9 months later we got married, and then I've got an apprenticeship in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was a German shop, excellent company, but either one of us liked it. Well, after 3 or 4 months living there, we found out she was pregnant, and so we decided, hey, let's move back to Massillon. So we went to Massillon, and I'm working two 8-hour jobs, both in the factories, because I need to make money. And at that time, apprenticeships, they didn't pay anything. Mm-hmm. And so I'm
kinda
working
like an internship.
Internship,
now.
Yeah. And so I'm working two 8-hour shifts. And the one company that I was working for, they said, hey, if you can work all the overtime you want here, 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, and you get overtime and a half for all that. So I started calculating the money. It was like, wow, I'm leaving money on the table by taking this other job. So I took that job, and I just worked 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we were generating income. Well, after a while, I thought, you know what? I want to go into my own business. And so I didn't know what business, but I really wanted to go into my own business. And so an opportunity came, and I went into that business, never made a dime. I mean, never made a dime. Mm-hmm. And did that for a little while. That went out of business. Then I got into this other business, and we lost everything. We lost our home that we just bought a home for $10,000 the year before.
What
lost
business that. Was that?
Well, it was like a network marketing company.
Gotcha.
And it was called Dare to Be Great. That's where I got to meet Bernie Torrance and so many of my friends now, lifelong friends now, because we literally went broke together. I mean, literally, we lost our home, we lost our furniture. In those days, when the bank, they come out and put a padlock on your home and they take your furniture and set it out on the street. And so we had an instant auction.
Wow.
Yeah. So from that, Brady, we were, matter of fact, Jerry's living in Florida with her mother. I'm living with my mother here, and she lived in Dalton.
Mm-hmm. both of our... It had to be hard on a marriage, too.
No, it was terrible. Jerry's father, 6 months before that, owned a grocery store, and two guys came in and robbed him and killed him. So Jerry just lost her father. Mm. 6 weeks after her father was murdered, my father dies in his sleep. So both of our dads died. We lost our furniture, lost our car, we lost our home, and now we're losing our marriage because I'm living in my car. She's living with her mother.
Yeah.
On the weekends, I would go live with my mother. I mean, it was just a terrible time in life. But January 3rd, 1973, we come home from church, my mother and I. She begged me to go to church with her. Everybody at the church knew me. It's like, how do these people know me? But she had been asking them to pray for me all this time. And that evening, we came home from church, and the bank had taken my last car. They had gotten another car before this. Now they got my last car. So I don't have a car now. And I wasn't making the payment, and rightfully so. The bank needed to come pick it up. And so... 1 o'clock in the morning, my mother leads me to the Lord. And that's when I became a Christian. And life just started changing.
Wow.
I mean, it was, I called Jerry the next day and I said, hey, give me another chance. Mom's given me enough money to buy you a ticket and let's meet in California. I had a brother out in the military there. So we moved to California, got into a low income housing project, you know, where the government was subsidizing, you know, our rent.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's when things started growing.
Yeah. So what advice could you give to someone that might be going through it right now?
Failure's okay.
Yeah,
yeah, I love failure that. Failure is okay. You know, my friend John Maxwell wrote a book, Failing Forward. Mm-hmm. So failing's all right as long as you get back up and go again. Yeah. It's when you fail and go backwards, you know, but fail forwards. So, you know, that was our second failing business.
I think that's something that a lot of people my age struggle with right now because, you know, we might have only been out of school for a few years now and, you know, whatever we went into right away didn't work out and maybe we try something else again and that doesn't work out and it just seems like we can't get a win.
Yep.
But yeah, that's awesome to hear what it took to kind of get you started out of that.
Yeah.
And that was in your faith.
You know, Brady, so I'm now working for Pacific Gas and Electric in California. Mm-hmm. 8-to-5 job. They paid me good. We just bought a brand new home there in California. So we're settled. Jerry's loving it. I'm coming home, got weekends off. My brother and I buy a boat. We're water skiing every evening after work, every weekend. I guess we did this for like 3-4 years, and it's driving me crazy. I mean, it's driving me crazy just to have a job. I wanted a business. And so I'm talking to Jerry. Finally, I found a position with Bell and Howell. Bell and Howell, they own DeVry Schools, if you know DeVry Electronic Schools.
Yeah.
And they had an opportunity in New Jersey. And so they said, hey, why don't you come learn the position, see if you like the position. If you like the position, you can do it in California. So I took a vacation from PG&E, went to New Jersey, and I tried it for 1 week, and I made $1,100 in 1 week.
Wow.
Now, back then in 1975, that was huge money. I mean, $50,000 a year. I mean, I was probably making at that time 15 to 20,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm going to double my income. So I called Jerry on the phone and said, honey, we're moving to New Jersey. What? Yeah. Go ahead. Put everything in storage. Put a sign on the house. We're moving to New Jersey.
Oh, my.
And so her and I, we put a few things in a trailer, and we moved to, we go to Chicago.
And she was fine with this?
I have a lovely wife. We get to Chicago. I'm going through their school for a week. She drives the kids, because they're small, Chip and Dawn at that time. She drives the kids in the pull in this trailer from Chicago to Ohio to wait for me to come into Ohio to move to New Jersey. So anyway, we go to New Jersey. Brady, it was one of those businesses that I learned so much. It was about making appointments. It was going out and seeing parents in their home to talk about their son or daughter going on to school. Mm-hmm. It was learning how to close. I mean, it was a negative sale. As you know, colleges is a negative sale. But for me, it was a growth period. Like, I just learned so much.
Eyes got open to some new stuff.
Oh, and I was working really crazy, but I was making crazy money. Well, then Bell & Howe came to me and said, hey, would you go to Dallas, Texas? Because New Jersey now has become the number one school. Mm-hmm. And would you go to Dallas? Because it's the worst school in our system. They had 10 schools at the time. And so my friend and I, and we move our families to Dallas, Texas. So now we're living in Dallas. We're there about 6-7 months. Dallas now becomes number one school. Now they come to me and said, hey, Jerry, would you go to Philadelphia? It really needs help. It's the worst school we have. So it was like, wait a minute. If I'm doing this for them, what could I do for me? And so that's when I made a decision. I'm moving back to California, and we're going to go start a business. I don't know what business, but we're going to start a business.
Because you knew you could sell. You knew you could make appointments, make the sale, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, man, if I'm doing this, there's X amount of time every day that you have. Mm-hmm. And if you're pouring your heart into something, it should be your thing. For me. I mean, that's what I wanted. That's not for everybody, but that was for me. I moved to California. I'll make it short. We ended up doing business with a team of people here in Ohio that called it the Mini Merchant newspaper. It was classified ad paper. Kind of like what you said earlier. It's like an eBay back then in print.
Of newspaper. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then we started Auto Trader magazines and real estate magazines. I'm into this business, Brady, 3 years.
Okay.
And it's failing. I mean, it's like, my accountant comes to me and says, you should consider selling this business. That was the second year. You should consider selling this business. It's really not working so well for you. And then he comes back the third year and said, you should just shut it down. So it's giving me a lot of confidence, right?
Yeah.
So I called the guys here in Ohio. Their business is like expanding. It's growing all over Northeast U.S., from Chicago all the way to Florida. I mean, their business is just, wait a minute, we're in the same business. Why is their business just like off the chart growth, and I'm just barely hanging on? So I came back, and here's what I found, Brady. Changed my life. They invited me to their Monday morning board meeting. Mm-hmm. There was 7 equal partners. I got there, and first thing I noticed, it was a round table. Equal partners. There was no head. Everybody was equal. And it started off by John Schrock saying, hey, let's pray. Whoa, this is a company and they're praying. That's great. Well, then after he prayed, he pulled up the Bible and he went into Proverbs and he read some scripture in Proverbs. They haven't talked about business. They're dealing with growth of themselves. The value, I'll never forget the value, it was on honesty. So John starts and John says, you know what? I need help on this value, honesty. I'm not honest. It was like, wait a minute, I don't know this guy very good, but for him to just come out to 6 partners and me being here, and he's saying he's not very honest, and then he explains. He said, and he's being so transparent. He said, here's where I'm failing. He said, my wife will call me at 4 or 5 o'clock and said, John, when are you coming home? Oh, I'm out the door. I'm leaving it right now. He said, that's a lie. I know that I'm not leaving, but it's what she wants to hear, so that's what I tell her. He said, that's not being honest. I need to tell her, no, honey, I got another 2 hours here and then I'll be home. He said, I got to work on this. Wow, so transparent. The next guy does the same thing. The next guy went around the table. And then they said, hey, how can we help our employees with this value of honesty? What?
Wow.
And they're going around one by one. They're talking about how they can help their employees with this value out of Proverbs. Then that didn't end there. Then they said, okay, but the companies we're doing business with, how can we help them and their employees with this value? whoa. Now, here's what happened, Brady. I saw the business is not about me. That was the growth that took place that day for me. Mm-hmm. See, I was in business for me. I was trying to get a bigger house. I was trying to get a more cars. I was trying to get stuff. That's when I learned it's not about me. Mm-hmm. If you want God's blessings in what you're doing, then make sure you're in alignment with what God's doing. Why would he bless you if you're just doing it for you? So you have a bigger home? No. Mm-hmm. That was so educated. I came out of that meeting. I called Jerry. I'll never forget, because she's like waiting for the answer. We're going broke again, right? We tasted that once. We didn't want to do this. And she said, okay, what'd you find out? And I said, oh, honey, I got it. We need 6 partners. She said, what? I said, oh, this is what they do. She said, Jerry, you don't need 6 partners. You need to find 6 other failing business guys and meet with them once a week and do this. Yeah, that wasn't hard to find. I went back to Stockton, California. I talked to 6 other business guys that was struggling, and we started getting together every Friday morning at 6 a.m. Changed my life. I thought I had a good marriage. No, I got a great marriage. I thought my relationship with my kids was great. No, now it's great. The relationship I have with my employees, I started talking with my employees of how I can help them. Mm-hmm. And then the companies I was doing business with, I went and helped with them and their employees. I mean, all of a sudden, our business skyrocketed. Within 6 months, I remember my accountant calling me and saying, hey, this business is incredible. He said, I got to figure it out. I said, what did you figure out? He said, it's when you started advertising. I said, Bob, I don't advertise. Oh, yeah, you advertise. He said, it shows right here. You spent this much money. And right here is when you started advertising. And look what's happening. He had it all graphed out. I said, Bob, I don't advertise. He said, wait a minute. He calls in his bookkeeper and asks her. He said, Linda, Jerry says he didn't advertise, but you have X amount of dollars. Oh, Bob, he made these checks out to some organization for something. I don't know. And I just put it under advertising. He's and in the bottom, he said, God's money. She said, I didn't know what to do with it. So that was the value that I started to learn. Number one, you'd mentioned you like to help people. That's what I found out. You want to help people? God wants to bless you. I mean, and that's what happened. I got in alignment with what God was doing. And I found out it's not about me. It's how can I help others? Mm-hmm. And then I watch God do what God does.
And so essentially, your advertising line order was a tithe, right?
That's right. It was a tithe.
Wow.
I didn't know the importance of tithing. Didn't understand it. When you understand and get in alignment with God, that's when God can just bless your socks off. And wow. He did for us. I mean, it was crazy.
That's awesome. So for me, I mean, this is a story that's not near that scale, but when I was really young, like 4 or 5 years old, the church service or whatever, they were talking about offering and tithing and giving 10% or whatever. And I think my allowance at the time was like $10 a week. And so I gave $1 in that offering. This was the first time I'd ever like given any of my own money to the church, or my parents' money, I guess. But I gave that dollar, and I remember it was like in the middle of December. So Monday, I get on the bus to go to school, and our bus driver is giving everyone that gets on the bus a dollar bill for Christmas. And just like that, I got that dollar back. I thought that was so cool, and it's something I'll never forget either.
That's right. Thank you, God.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. So now I know you had a very successful business with the satellite business. How did you get into that, and what has that looked like for you?
You know, the satellite business, first of all, when we were in California, we had a company from France buy our publishing. We had magazines up and down the coast of California, and we had a company from France come in and make us an offer, so we sold. And so Jerry and I decided, let's move back to Ohio to be closer to John Schrock and Bernie Torrance, two of my mentors. And you know, Bernie lives right up the street mm-hmm. here. And so
great family as well.
Great family. And so We came back really just to be mentored. I just wanted to grow more. And after about, I did some consulting. I worked with the mini merchant guys here, helped them when they're in the auto business. I was really good with the auto dealers. I helped them with that. I did some consulting and for newspapers up in Canada and in New Mexico. But then about 7 years later, I'm in Barranquilla, Colombia, and we were in a prayer meeting in this huge hotel, and I really felt, I heard God's voice say, I want you to go home and sell your house. Like, whoa. So we went, I came home from that trip, told my wife, honey, we're supposed to sell the house. Jeez. What? And I tell you these stories because it's, all these help me build my faith. Mm-hmm. To understand when you hear God's voice, he's got something really special for you. And so I came back and said, we're supposed to sell our house. Now, we loved our place that we had. It was like a resort. It was gorgeous. And either one of us wanted to sell. And she said, I didn't hear God say that.
Your wife is a trooper.
She is. She is. Oh, my goodness. She is. So anyway, long story short here, I know we have time limited here, but she put all these requirements on. The house has to sell in 30 days. It's going to be a cash offer. It has to be $100,000 more than we paid for it. It has to be all these things. I had a friend, the realtor, local realtor. He wouldn't even take the listing. I found a listing, a lady that was just got into the business at a gas station, and I asked her to take the listing. In 3 weeks, the house was sold, cash offer, no questions. It was what we were asking price, 30 days to be out.
Oh, my. I'm sure that was like unheard of around here at that time.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. I mean, it was, but it was like, okay, I heard God's voice. So now the next year, I'm in Guatemala City, getting ready the last night, getting ready to leave, and we're praying. And I hear God's voice, and he said, I want you to go back in business. Now, it's been 7 years since I've been in business. And I heard God's voice say, go back in business. And then it was, God, what business?
Yeah, what business?
What business? You told me
wouldn't
go back
in
business.
Wouldn't it be nice if he just told you everything?
I know it, right? And hey, in my whole life, I haven't heard God's voice except those two times.
Wow.
Sell your house. Now, I've got nudges from the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. but I haven't heard his voice say, go sell your house, you know, or go back in business. Anyway, when I got the message the next year, go back in business, now we're on the search. And we're looking for what business. We're at every fair. We're looking at opportunities. We're looking at franchises. What is it, God? We knew we were going to be successful because God just said, I want you to go back in business. So if he's telling me to go back in business, mm-hmm. this is going to be good. Again, we're time limited today, Brady, but it was very shortly after that that I ran across a thing that I wanted first, which was satellite in my home, because we built a brand new home right up the street from where you're living.
Yeah.
And that was in 94. And I needed satellite. So that's where it started. The guy came to my house that day. I never forget. He came to my house. He's got, and nothing against this, but he just didn't look like the guy that I wanted working on my home. I mean, he had earrings. He had long hair. He had tattoos. I just, you know, it's all those signs of my mind, and I'm so weak at this. Can I trust him? Mm-hmm. Can I trust him? And so I worked with him that day, and I fell in love. I bet he wouldn't wear his tool belt, and he was always chasing his tools. I said, give me that tool belt, and I put it on. I'm like, whoa, this feels comfortable. I like this. Anyway, long story here, short. I get to know Primestar out of Canton. Mm-hmm. My son Chip was moving back from California, and Chip was really technical. He's really good inside the homes, and so I asked them if they would hire him. They, oh, yeah, we'll hire him. And so he got a job with them, and I had missed him. He'd been gone a year, so I asked if I could ride with him. I asked his boss. I called his boss and said, hey, would you mind ride with my son? I've just really missed him. He said, yeah, that's fine. So I became Chip's helper. You know, go get this, go get that, and he taught me so much. I mean, he's just a sharp kid. And so we did that about a month together, and then they came to me and said, hey, you know, we're buried with work. Why don't you take one of these new vans and be a technician just to help us out? I said, well, yeah, I'll help you out. And the difference is I understand marketing, and I know that if you want to build security, you build security by building the business. Even though it wasn't my business, I wanted to help them build their business so it would give security for Chip for long term. Mm-hmm. So a sale meant a lot, in my opinion. And so every home that I was installing, I was asking them, hey, call your neighbors, get them over here. We'll have this ready in about an hour, and I'll show them what 62 beautiful channels look like. And so they packed their living room up, and I'd sign all these people up. And my boss kept on coming to me and said, oh, I wish you wouldn't sell. You're creating way too much paperwork.
When has
here.
A boss ever said that? You're selling too much.
You're selling too much. He said, we're in a service business. We're not in a sales business. Anyway, about a month or two later, the corporate office called me and said, hey, can we meet? And this is what the guy said to me. He said, you know, we've watched you. You're so different as a technician. We'd like for you to go in your own business. And as soon as he said those words, it was like, could this be? Could this be?
What God said.
What God said. And then I said, well, yeah. He said, anything you sell, you can install. So you can have both sides of it. We'll pay you for the sale. We'll pay you for the install. Whoa. I said, okay, let me talk to my boss. I said, he's taught me the business. It's unfair for me just to take his ideas and his training and be his competitor. I said, I want to make sure he's okay with this. So I go see my boss, and he said, oh, Jerry, that's wonderful. He said, you're going to do well.
Less paperwork for him.
Less paper for him. And so, and I did. Oh, my goodness, Brady. That first month, Jerry and I, we set up our office in our home, in our kitchen. And our first month, we sold two less than the company did in Holmes County the entire year before. I mean, wow. God just, I would be at gas stations or run into people that want service. I mean, it was a God thing. I mean, that business kept on growing. And we, you know, of course, you know, it's hard at that time, especially to find offices or space. So we used our home. And at one time, we probably had 30 to 40 people in our home working. I mean, Jerry'd come out in the morning to get her coffee, and there'd be staff members in the dining room, in the kitchen, and downstairs in the basement. We had staff everywhere. And, it was just crazy, crazy good times. Yeah. But, and God just continued to bless. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did that essentially take off for you then?
Took
having
off.
Your own?
Yeah. The company said, you know, we'd like for you to take this county now. Take this county. Take this county. And pretty soon, we have the whole state. We have the state of for Primestar, and then Primestar was sold to DirecTV, and so now we have DirecTV. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care for the DirecTV guys, and so we started another company, Digital Dish, and Chip went up to Canton and set up an office there, and so now we were doing cable at the same time. So we were doing cable for like three, four cable companies in a couple states. So now we have employees doing cable, we have employees doing Dish, we have employees doing DirecTV.
Wow.
Yeah, and it just kept on growing and growing, and pretty soon, you know, I didn't want to do DirecTV any longer. So I went out to see Charlie, who owns Dish, and he said, hey, if you'll get rid of DirecTV, we'll give you the state of Ohio for Dish Network. And so then that's how we went full-time, full at it with Dish Network.
That's awesome.
And they've been a great company to us. I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. You know, we did that until June of 2019 is when we sold.
What are some things that you've learned along the way, specifically in the area of leadership and what it takes to lead a team and get everyone going in your direction and seeing your vision? What does some of that look like, and what have you learned along the way about that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, do you care about people? That's the first step. Do you care about people? Because that was something I had to learn. I was friends with my employees. I think back in the day when we were in Stockton, we were failing in that business. Sure, I cared about my people. We did nice things for them. But I cared for them because I wanted them to help me. Mm-hmm. When I lost that thought to say, it's not about me, it's about them. It's when you start caring about them, when you start caring about people and developing others. That's when, and it's like tithing, like that you learned mm-hmm. and I've learned. It's the same way. You want to build a business, build people, develop people. I'm watching Dawn do it. She's doing, her and Kim, Chip's wife, the family took over the resort. And so the two of them, Dawn and Kim, they're pouring their hearts into the resort right now. And as you know, you just can't find people.
Yeah.
She's looking for people at the front desk. She's looking people at the housekeeping.
The hotel business is crazy with that right now.
It is. And so she's trying to build the team. And she, you know, she's probably, Dawn is one of the best leaders as a leader. You should have her on this program.
That'd be awesome.
She is amazing. Yeah, she's teaching people around the world.
Wow.
Yeah, she is. She does these Zoom calls. Last week or 2 weeks ago, she invited me onto one of her Zoom calls, and it was with Lebanon. And it was a company there. I can't remember how many thousands of people that they had.
That's awesome.
I mean, So it's about developing people first,
mm-hmm.
not about you. And I think that was probably the hardest lesson for me to learn.
It is tough because when you do something for someone else, you expect something in return.
Yeah.
And you want something in return. And I feel like that's something I keep hearing over and over mm-hmm. is when you forget about what you're getting in return.
Yep.
It all just kind of trickles down. You don't see it right away, but when you help someone else and then 2 months down the line, their friend needs a recommendation on what satellite company to choose. And then they say, hey, this guy I worked with really helped me out. He put me first. And then they direct them to you.
Yeah, that's it.
And so sometimes, just like God, we don't see the payoffs right away.
That's right.
And his vision, sometimes we don't see or we never see.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I've learned so much from, you know, guys like John Schrock, where he really poured into others. He could see, he had a gift. Dawn has a similar gift. It's a gift where they can see what they could be, not what they are. But what they could be, mm-hmm. and I started growing into that. I mean, it was a growth level for me. But that's a gift when you can see what people could be, and then help them develop into that.
Yeah, I got to give my dad props on that too, because he'll be watching like his second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders play in the winter, and he'll be like, "Hey, that fifth grader, she's gonna be really good when she's in high school."
Wow.
Or I still remember him telling me Zoe Miller, who was a senior this year, he said she's going to be one of the best to ever play at Highland.
Wow.
And this year, her senior year, she was Division III Player of the Year, set the rebounding record at Highland, third all-time in scoring.
And he saw that when she was in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
That's crazy
and,
good.
And you can see work ethic, too.
Yep.
You can see that in people. And when people have that, you know if you give them the right guidance, they're going to be able to go down the right path. What have you learned about your home and work-life balance?
Mm-hmm.
Because like you talked a little bit about earlier, you were at a low point in your marriage, and you've had a lot of highs, too, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Where does the work and home life balance come into play?
It is a balance. But what I learned is that there's seasons. And so there are seasons that, like the farmer, in planting season, he is out there from morning until night preparing the ground and getting ready to put seed in, and then it's putting seed in. So, and the whole family has to understand that, hey, this is the season we're in right now. Business is the same way. This is the season we're in right now.
Wow.
Then harvest time comes. All hands on deck, right? Every mm-hmm. family member. That's what I'm so grateful for my family, because every one of them, Dawn, Chip, Dean, we all work together in business. When Dawn and Chip was, I don't know, Chip was probably 6, Dawn was probably 9. They're at the office every day. They're cleaning bathrooms, they're sweeping floors, they're, matter of fact, Dawn became a great typist.
Nice.
Early, like 12, 13 years old, because she didn't want to empty the trash anymore. So she she went down and got a typing book, self-taught herself, so she could take ads on the telephone at 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe younger. Yeah, so yeah, the family, I've learned, is if I'm doing something, they're all going to be involved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a picture last night from Chip. His son Maddox, you know, mm-hmm. Maddox.
Yeah.
He took a picture of him. He's in front of the big laundry machines. You know, at the hotel, you have those huge.
Oh, massive.
Massive.
Yeah.
So he's putting towels in. And it was like, oh, I mean, for a grandfather to see that, that's like, okay, that's.
Well, and during the COVID pandemic too, the heart of that, one of my dad's hotels that they run, their workers all like just said they weren't going to come into work.
Yep.
So I went down to St. Clairsville for like a week and worked the night shift down there like last May. I'd work there from 11 at night to 7 in the morning. I'd go to a room, sleep for like 7 hours, sleep as long as I could, go get breakfast at about 3 in the afternoon, and then do it all over again. So yeah, I know what you mean there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And two, I feel like then it's easier for the family and your spouse to see what season you're in.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? And when it's time to plant and when it's time to harvest.
Yeah, and what you have to be careful of as a business guy or an entrepreneur is that you'll have a tendency to have that same season every day. Mm-hmm. Right? But you have to remember that there is a season. Okay, I need to do this with the family. I need to take off. I need to do this with the family. And when we were growing that business in California, we did a lot of trips together. We'd go to the mountains and ski. I mean, we worked really hard. The whole family worked really hard. Everybody was at the office, but then we played hard. And that really kept us together.
Awesome.
We just, you know, yeah. So that's, I, yeah.
So as a business, do you feel like there's seasons in your business too, where you're kind of just putting your head down, grinding, planting those seeds, and then, you know, down the road you get your harvest season, or is it just a little bit of both all the time?
You know, I can share with what I'm going through right now. Of course, mm-hmm. the family has taken over the resort. I'm in a planning stage right now. I'm helping them plan, not for my life, but for the next generation and the next generation. And so the time that I'm putting in right now is it's time for, I'm not going to see the harvest. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see the plant, but I'm not going to see the harvest. And that's okay with me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I mean, to you, it's about people.
It's about people. And it's really about family at this point. I mean, like, wow, what could we do together as a family?
Yeah. So tell me, what are you doing right now? I know Chip had told me that you're into some awesome roundtable stuff. But yeah, what are you doing now that you sold the satellite business, right?
Yeah, sold the satellite business. About 11 years ago, God gave me a jet. At the time, it was like, why God? It literally gave me a jet. And
or like a plane jet.
Like a plane jet, yeah. Like an airplane. And 2 years before that, at two different meetings, I had people come to me and tell me that, hey, for whatever reason, God's going to buy you a jet. Well, when this came about, it was like, okay, why? I didn't want to miss why. I didn't think it was for me to fly to and from Florida, where we have a second home. It had to be more than that. But what is that? And so at the time we moved to Florida, I learned in the building we moved into, John Maxwell lived. And we were there probably 6 months before he knew I lived there, because we knew each other. We weren't close friends, but we knew each other and knew of each other. And I find out that John's in the same building as I am. And so about a week later, we run into each other in the parking garage. And he said to me, I thought it was really important. He said, he's an amazing leader. He said, let's don't waste any time. Let's get together for dinner and let's figure out is this a coincidence that you're here? Or is it God's doing something with us going forward? Now, this was in 2005, so it's, I don't know, what is that, 15 years ago or something, 16 years ago. I had a smaller airplane at the time, and maybe a week or 2 weeks later, John says, hey, I'm in trouble. I need to be to this meeting. Could you fly me? I said, yeah, I can fly. So I flew him. Maybe about a month later, he said, I got to be in Canada. He said, can you fly to Canada? I said, yeah. I flew him to Canada. So when this jet came about, I thought, could it be for that? And so what I learned is that when you open yourself up to possibilities, what is God doing here? I know this jet's got to be more for more reasons than just a pleasure piece for Jerry. And so John and I started doing things together. Mm-hmm. We started, as he was growing his businesses, he needed to be at X amount of places, couldn't do it in commercial. I mean, he'll do three cities in a day with different events.
Wow.
So, but here's the reason I want to say that, Brady, is this. What I've witnessed is the purpose wasn't just to benefit John. It did benefit John. The purpose wasn't just to benefit Jerry. It did benefit Jerry. But it was really for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Because of what the time that John and I had together, he was always asking, tell me what you're doing. And I was, because of John Schrock, I was always about values. We were about changing lives in the marketplace. And God took us around the world, really. We were in like 100 countries. And it all started here in Holmes County. I mean, wow. But this Johnny Schrock, 8 grades of education, and he has touched the world. He died, I'm not sure, 7-8 years ago. But his legacy is larger today than it was when he was alive. That's amazing. I don't know any, the people that I've known that has passed on, I don't know that their legacy is bigger after they die. That's mm-hmm. really rare. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's really rare.
It is.
For your legacy to be bigger. And John's legacy carried on, and now it's carried on. John Maxwell just wrote a book, Change Your World. Mm-hmm. Change Your World is all about the things that Johnny Schrock was about. It was about bringing values to the workplace, bringing values to the school place, bringing values to the government place. It's, you know, we're all crying out for better leadership in our nation. Mm-hmm. And it's not a lack of leadership, it's a lack of values.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the book you just gave me, right?
That's the book I just gave you.
I can't
you.
Wait to read that. Yeah. That's awesome. So to wrap up a little bit here, the two questions I always ask my guests, number one is, what's a book that you've read that you could recommend to someone my age? Maybe something that changed your perspective in a huge way, or just a book that you feel like someone my age could get a lot out of.
Sure. I gave you a second book today. Mm-hmm. I give you the Passion Bible. And I'm going to get emotional here because what that thing has done for me. Now, I've had a lot of Bibles in the past. Man, I've got a stack full of them. Mm-hmm. But this Bible has been, you've heard the term living word. I didn't know what that word meant until through COVID. Living word. Living word, I got into a daily hope call some time ago. A year ago. afternoon, God said, I want you to call them up and invite others and have a call tomorrow for hope. You have to bring hope. They have to have hope. And so I called Mike, I called Ryan, I called a lot of businesses in the area, and I said, hey, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, pray for each other as a business. So much. For listeners too. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 24:3-4. I'm not going to share it. They're going to have to look it up.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And my last question is, what does success mean to you?
Well.
And the word success, what does it mean for you to be successful in this life? Mm-hmm.
That is a very good question. At one time, I got to say, it meant more houses and more cars, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when I didn't have anything.